I want to speak to you today on a title, The Phenomenon of Your Existence. We are all very special people, and we all have very special lives. Never listen to the enemy say to you that you're not worth anything, or that you failed and God doesn't care about you. Beauty, I tell a lot of people, is this, that God saw you before you were saved. Jesus died for you when you were yet in darkness. You gave your heart to the Lord, but listen, He knew your steps after you gave your heart to the Lord. So if you've gone through a bad time and you've failed God in any way in your eyes, He knew that. But yet He chose you to do something. That's because God knows how special you are. And don't ever forget that being called of God, being a child of God, being in the family of God, there's no words that can really describe it. So I want to take time today and let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And I want to give an introduction to that before I read it. And Mary visited Elizabeth. And now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow's not in the Bible there. I just added that there. Wow. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You see, when the Holy Spirit gets into your life, revelations start to come. The mother of my Lord. Isn't that amazing? You see, if we don't realize this, we sometimes step aside, and when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, we act like He's not speaking to us, and we want to think otherwise. My challenge to everybody, every day, my challenge to my own life in prayer every day, is to literally always keep an ear open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. To know what God is saying to your life is very important. And so she says this by a knowledge that came into her by being filled of the Holy Spirit. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now, guys, we don't know what that's like at all. So don't try to embrace that. And I'm not even going to try to spiritualize that. But it's real what happened. Leaped for joy. Now, how could a mother carrying a baby? Now, I'm going to take you to a place in a minute, but I just need to get this foundation builder. How could a mother that's carrying a baby know the baby leaped for joy? That's the Holy Ghost. That's what He does to us. He gives us revelation that no one else can see or feel but you. Are you with me? Amen. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." She just spoke into her life. She was coming to visit and tell her a story. And the Holy Ghost took over to make sure the story was told properly. You see, God wants your life to be told properly wherever you go. He wants to give you introduction when you meet someone. He wants you to be seen by other people as special, successful, good, honest, and full of God's power, full of God's love, and having the knowledge of His grace. The world wants you to be seen as somebody that's a failure, just another person, just somebody that lives next door, somebody that shops at the market where you shop, somebody that works at the location of your employment. But God wants you to be seen as a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. No matter what you're going through, God wants your picture to be that of God in your life. The enemy of our soul wants our picture to be depression, fear, doubt, why me? You see, God's picture is much greater than the enemy's picture. And we spend hours of our life in front of a mirror. I know you don't want to admit that, but we spend hours in front of a mirror, taking our hair and fixing it properly, the ladies putting on makeup, and also taking off makeup, you know, somehow or another to make everything look good. Before you walk out that door, you want to look good. Come on, honey, we're going to be late. I'm almost through. I've got to curl my hair. You know, guys don't get that, you know, because we've already sprayed it all up and looks good and everything's right. We want to get out the door to get out into the world. We want to look good as we want people to see us physically. But God says to our heart, as you get ready to go out the door, make sure you want the world to see me as I have seen you. To know who I am in your life, that they can have that. And so Mary, after she speaks this great song that she sings, referring back to the song that Hannah sung when she realized she was pregnant. The great Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Amazing. All generations. Even the generation that we're in today. As we read on. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." That could be a song of your life today. He's done great things. What more could he need to do? But just by the birth and the death and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. I read an article one time that I was reading, and it was a beautiful article. And this person said, and this was years ago, probably back in 1979, I believe, 78. And it struck me because the article said, if God didn't do anything more than give Jesus on the cross, he's done enough. But God's so beautiful and so kind. He keeps on giving to us. He reveals things to us. And in our humanity, sometimes we deregulate the revelation. We move it over to the side and we start to design our own revelation. And what do? We get into trouble. But God keeps bringing us back to the right path. He keeps anointing our lives with His presence. He guards us when we sleep. He has prepared our tomorrow before we even enter into it. He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding, and He guards our heart. He fills us with joy and great expectation. He gives us dreams that no one else can dream but you, your personal dream. He blesses us when we don't even realize we're going to be blessed. Something happens and we just stand there in awe. How did this happen? Thank you, God. He answers prayer that you have travailed in, cried out to God before Him, wanting God to move in your life. And it may take 21 days like it did for Daniel. It may take a period of time before that prayer is answered. But when He comes, when that prayer is there, you stand with great awe before the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done. When a healing comes, whether emotionally or physically or mentally, it is amazing how well we want to praise God and thank Him for that. How grateful we are as we live a life every day for the grace that is sufficient for our lives. And how thankful we are that we have a revelation of faith that we can walk through every day with faith in our lives, knowing that God is going to bring this to pass. Knowing this. Knowing it. Because we believe. Mark 11:24 says, when we pray, if we believe, we shall believe, we shall receive what we have believed as long as we pray in the name of Jesus. If we believe it. We don't have to see it. We have to believe it. Because if we look to what we see, we don't want to believe what God has said. But if we looked at what God has said, we believe what's coming our way. Amen. Am I helping anybody today? Do you understand that there's a God in our life that wants to care for us? For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him. Now listen, from generation to generation. I pray this kind of prayer for my children. No matter what condition their condition may be in, from generation to generation, God, You promised. Yes. You promised. You promised. From generation to generation, You will bless them. You will be with them. You will strengthen them. And the hope just builds up inside. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Look around. We're the seed of Abraham. We have been grafted on to that, according to the word in the book of Galatians. We are grafted on to that tree. We are this because of He being that one who hung upon the tree. We are grafted on to that tree when we call His name. Now, I don't want to get real deep here, but boy, that's amazing to me, you know, that all of a sudden, before I was even saved, I was grafted on. And no matter what I go through in my life, if I falter, which I have faltered, I've let God down. I didn't obey His voice. But He still states, I'm grafted. I'm part of it. I'm part of that promise He gave Abraham in Genesis 15 and Genesis 12 that there'll be this generation, this humanity come forth from your loins that will be more than the stars and uncountable and in the sand on the seashore, innumerable. You see, the enemy is a liar. He doesn't want us to celebrate this year as a time of celebration in the birth of Jesus Christ. I remember being on the mall in Modesto, California. And we're pastoring our first church, and it was about the second year there, and it was Christmas, and I was 32 years old. I know I still look like that, but don't worry. Thank you for the compliment. And literally, I was sitting there, and there's this young girl there. And I said, how you doing? You know, I don't go up to young girls and talk to them. Don't misunderstand me that, you know, everybody, the crowd was there. My wife was there. But I looked at her. She was alone. And I said, how you doing? She says, good. I said, are you enjoying Christmas? She goes, oh, yeah. She got all happy. She says, yes, I am. I'm really, it's Christmas. I love it. I said, do you know what birthday it is? And she goes, no, I don't. I said, it's the birthday of Jesus Christ. She goes, who's Jesus Christ? I stopped. Who is Jesus Christ in America? Christmas. Who is Jesus Christ? I said, you don't know that He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and this is His birthday we're celebrating? She says, no, I've never heard of Him. She was 11 years old. You know, and I thought for a moment, we should do something about this at that point. And I made a decision that day to make sure that everybody I come in contact with knows that there is a Savior that was born unto us. this everlasting Father, this the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, given to us as a gift that we can embrace daily, that we can sing this song with Mary and the promises that are within it. We can realize that through this time, this prayer and her existence prompts our learning the wisdom of persistence and obedience to following God's basic directions in our life. Her directive from the Holy Spirit was pretty basic. It was mystical, but it was basic. She obeyed it. And after that obedience, and after the Holy Spirit got involved here with Elizabeth in her, she says in this prayer, she knew that in her womb was the Savior of the world. Can I say to all of us today, we are impregnated with God. We should realize that in our lives there are promises that only God could have put there. We are impregnated with them, and we should say in our hearts and to others, I have God in me, my Savior. When thoughts come into your mind that aren't right, bring every thought into obedience unto Jesus Christ. Bring it into submission. Bring it into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. I stretch that out purposely so you can understand that when we get a negative thought, if we get a bad thought, if we get something and we start feeling really low about ourselves, take it into captivity and give it over to Christ Jesus. And you begin to walk in that same kind of song that she sung there. She's singing a song that I know who God is. I know exactly who He is, and He's in my womb. Well, I got a promise from God, and He's done a new thing in me, and I know who He is. And no matter what has happened in my life, that impregnation of His promise, that impregnation of salvation, that impregnation of truth is still there, and man cannot take it from me. I own it. It's mine. And I'm not going to consider the negativity of what the enemy of my soul has to say. Details of the outworking of His are sometimes unclear and mystifying. And that's where we stumble. God doesn't show us every detail. He doesn't. He shows us only the goodness of what He wants us to know at that time. So your tomorrow, there may be a new detail in your life that God wants to give to you. And be ready, though. You have to be ready to accept that because you've been praying. You've been seeking the face of God. You've been in His Word. You're reading it and you're loving it, and it's filling you and it's massaging your heart and it's anointing you and it's healing you. The Bible says in Psalm 107 that He sent forth His Word and they were all healed. Verse 20. You see, when you read God's Word, it brings healing into your life. It brings something that we have that's truth that no man can give us. His Word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the joint and the marrow, the spirit and the soul, and it knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. Praise God. His Word is alive in us. It's powerful in us. And He wants us to live that same kind of revelatory power of the Holy Spirit in our life that men cannot say into your heart what it is. Only the Holy Spirit can say what it's going to be. And He wants us to know Him in that power and that grace and that mercy, even though it may be unclear today. Even though this may sound funny, but I don't mean it to be that. Maybe you received a promise from God one day and you can't remember every line of it. I've heard people say to me, Pastor, you spoke into my life, you know, it was a month ago. Can you repeat it? And I go, I'd love to, but I can't. Did you hear it? Yes, I hear it. I heard it, and I want to hear it again. Would you just kind of speak it again? Can you give me a summary? Can you bring out a couple points? And I always look at them and say, yeah, point A, you should have listened. Point B, it's in there. And point C, it's gonna birth. Amen. Amen. God cares for you and I in such a way that He wants us to have everything. The scriptures are designed for us in life to lead us down a path to following God's will. That's what they're there for. Somebody once asked me, he said, how do I know God's will? I said, read the Bible. Yes. Read the Word. It designs God's will for your life and who you are. Well, I don't understand. It's so hard to read. I said, well, there's different versions you can read. Well, I don't know. I can't really do that. I don't know. I said, listen, pray. Listen to God's voice. He will design you and know who you are. And you'll stay steadfast with Jesus every day if you'll just continue to allow His Word to minister to your life and to bring excitement to your life. You know, every day is exciting with Jesus Christ. You know, people take your excitement. You know that, don't you? I think people walk around with pins in their pockets. And when they see you, they go ping to your balloon of excitement and you deflate, you know. But the Bible says if you put up the shield of faith, it'll quench every fiery dart of the enemy. So you put on that armor every morning when you get out of bed. And you get the Word in your life and you pray before you leave the house. And you get some Word in you and you walk out into that world that's just full of sin and darkness and pain and temptation and criticism and negativity. And you walk out there and all of a sudden you hear this ping, 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 ping. And it's falling off your shield, praise God. And you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God inside of you. And you're ready to speak out against those things in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. He loves you and I. He cares for us. Jesus didn't do something foolish at Calvary. He didn't do something that He didn't want to do. He wanted to do it because He loves you and I. It wasn't foolishness to heaven that God's only begotten Son died such a horrific death. And you know what? It wasn't foolish for God to send Him to a teenage girl's womb to be born the Savior of the world. That's the time we're in right now. That's the time that we can follow in this design path that God has given you. Each and every one of us have a destiny, and each and every one of us have a design path that God has structured just for you. It is your personal destiny. Well, I'm going through so much pain, Pastor. I'm going through so many struggles right now. Keep on keeping on. Your destiny, He is bringing you through character building times. He's bringing you through the darkness of the valley, but He is there with you. I don't understand all this, Pastor. He's not looking for you to have understanding. He's looking for you to have faith in His Word and knowledge that He is there with you, even though you may not see Him. Well, I don't feel Him. Well, I don't feel Him half the time either, but I know He's there. Why do I know He's there? Is because His Word says so. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm forever interceding for you before the throne of grace in heaven. That I can enter into the throne room of grace boldly. Not sheepishly, not crawling in there, not kind of wondering if He's, do I have an appointment, Father? Boldly coming into the throne room of grace and obtaining mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Attaining mercy, which is God's love. It is a remembrance of Jesus Christ's blood that was shed at Calvary and God's grace, that unmerited favor. You may not deserve it. I know I didn't deserve it, but He came into my life and saved this man and delivered him out of horrific sin and set me on a destiny to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow! God is good to all of us. Each and every one of us has that destiny that God has put us on. But we need to stay steadfast. The storms of life come at us. They really do. unimaginable things happen in our lives. Things we don't see coming, and things that even we saw coming, when they are there, they all of a sudden become the heaviest thing that our life has ever gone through. But we need to stay steadfast. Steadfast means to be holding on. Do you know a palm tree, when it gets blown over, studies have shown that everybody thinks it's dead, it's over, but when it comes back up, the trunk is stronger than when it was blown over the first time around. Every time a palm tree gets blown over, when it comes back up, the trunk is stronger. So every time you go through something in life and you're blown over, when you come back up because the Son of Jesus Christ is in your life and begins to speak truth and the sun rises on your path, you are stronger when you come out. You're bigger, you're stronger, you have more faith, you have more belief, you know that God is real. And that's how beautiful it is that we have to understand, because you are rooted and grounded in His Word. Yeah. You know, you can be rooted and grounded in a church and not know God's Word, and you aren't rooted and grounded in anything. But when you're rooted and grounded in God's Word, you know, I think when you know you're saved and you know you got it all together and you're really there, you do, and then you're on the way to church and you see the devil in the phone booth, or now on an iPhone, and he's dialing 911. Praise God. Because he sees you and he knows that you have the power of God in your life. God doesn't come in all of a sudden and say, I'm taking the power back. His gifts are without repentance. He is glad that he's done that. He is glad that he's gifted you, and he cares for you and I in such a way that we need to be celebrating this Christmas in the fact that this is a reminder, not of his death, not of his suffering, but of the glory of his birth, where the angels started to sing, where those that out in the fields came and the shepherds came and witnessed this baby there, and the three wise men came to see him, a star guiding them. And a simple task that they went home a different way. Because whenever you see Jesus for real, you always go home a different way. Well, I've met him. Will that ever happen again? Every time I'm with Jesus Christ, I go home a different way. Every time I speak into the throne room of grace, I go home a different way. Every time I cry out to God for something for you and for myself or just for you or for this world or for this nation, for this government, I go home a different way, believing that God has heard my prayers, gives you a refreshing and reestablishes your steps. Gives your feet a sure place to stand, and you realize that the lamp and the light is His Word and His light upon your path, and that you hit His Word in your heart, and that you no longer sin against Him. You're there with Him, and you have the best of the best. You have something that no one else can have, lest they receive God as their Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to own what God has given us. We don't give it out to rent to the enemy. We own it. We don't bow down to the enemy's lies. What we have to do, we have to believe God in such a way that we don't miss what God speaks to us every day. We don't miss it. We don't miss it. That's why I want everybody to pray all the time. Because spending time with God, even if it's a few minutes, just spend a few minutes with Him. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go through your home and worship. Go through your home and praise. Take time in a prayer closet that you may have designed for yourself and seek God and praise God and know that you are literally saying to Him, I am owning the promise that you gave me and I'm not letting it go because this fulfillment is coming to me. Even though sometimes it seems deeply emotional and mental, and there's a rocky road. Think about Mary for a moment. Mary gives birth. Then they take Jesus in to go through the ritual in the temple. And Simeon looks at her and said, this is the Savior. But you are going to feel a sword be pierced through your side emotionally and mentally. Wow. Think about this when all of a sudden they're on their way home and they can't find Jesus. Large caravans used to travel together in those days, safety purposes. And so on the way home, Jesus is missing and they're looking all over for him. And he shows up and is saying, instead of saying, "Oh, Mom, Dad, I was running after you. I'm so tired. I'm so glad we found each other. And oh, Mom, give me a hug. Dad, give me a quarter. I'm going to go get some candy, you know, whatever it may be. I'm just so thankful." He said, "Wouldn't you know that I wouldn't be about my Father's business?" Wow. Mentally, that must have struck her. And then how about later on in Jesus' ministry, the brothers and the mother, they come and they say to the disciples, "We can't get close. Let Jesus know that his mother and his brothers are out here and we need to speak with him." And he sends a message back, "My mother and my brothers are those who follow me." Now let's go backwards on that. Oftentimes you want personal time with Jesus, but he sends a message back, "I'm with you because you are my child. Right now, I'm not able to give you this moment that you want, but what I do have for you is already living with inside your heart. It's already there." Think how Daniel felt. He prays a prayer. This is great desolation that's going on there. He's praying a prayer, and that prayer started with help. God had to send an archangel to help defeat this prince of darkness. And then the message gets through after 21 days. But you know, there was no complaint once it got there. You know, whenever God finally answers a prayer of mine, I don't say, "Where have you been? Thanks a lot. You know, I could have used this 21 days ago, 2 weeks ago." I am so thankful that he's there. So thankful. You know, and when all of a sudden you're looking for Jesus and you can't find him for a while, you seem that he's gone because emotionally you're so distraught, you're so nervous, you're so concerned. What's going on? And you're seeking and seeking, and there he is, and he's just ready to hear your prayer. Ready for you to seek his face. Ready for you to say, "I am so thankful that you are my Lord and my Savior." Sometimes there's pain when you walk in Christianity. Pain that comes into your life. But you handle that with strong faith that are founded on nothing but the truth of God's word. Not what people say, and not what everybody else may think they're going to say, but already there. Even though we may not be wanting to pray as hard, even though we may have not sought him as hard, when he shows up in his full glory. And he wants to bless us. He wants us to realize that he's preparing your heart. Your heart for your future, and it's going to be great. He doesn't know how to give gifts that are halfway. He doesn't give gifts that have already been opened by somebody else. He gives gifts that is belonging to you. It's got your name stamped on it. It's got your ability stamped on it. And it's got your inner strength stamped on it. And he sees what you are going to become. You may not see it now, but believe down the road it's going to be great because God has put it there. God has put it there. He's preparing you for future blessings and success. "Well, I don't feel like that right now." Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Future blessings and success. What are your future blessings and success? What would you hope that would happen for you? What would you, if you could write a letter to Jesus right now? You know, all these people write letters to Santa Claus, who I believe in, But all these people write letters to Santa Claus, and all they write, all these gifts they want, and they just put it in the mail with great expectation that Santa is going to read each one individually. You've seen the movie Elf, haven't you? If everybody's seen that Christmas movie Elf, if you haven't, it's the funniest movie in the world. There's all these things about Santa and this and that. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. When we pray and seek God, we can give him a list of the things we want and believe for them, and we shall have them. If you pray according to his will, we know that he hears us pray. We are confident of this. Every prayer you've ever prayed, he has heard. Wow. How many times have you said to another human being, "Are you listening to me?" And they look at you and they go, "Oh yeah, I am." And you know they were somewhere off. They weren't in the room with you. They may have been standing right in front of you, but they were not listening. Or have you ever spoken to somebody and thinking they've been listening to you the whole time and it's all over and you just really feel refreshed that you said that to them, and they look over and say, "What'd you say?" And today, especially with the day of smartphones, you're talking to somebody and they're looking at a phone. When we were in San Francisco the other night, I don't know how come there wasn't people accidents. People are walking down the street like this, everybody looking at their phone, you know, and I'm thinking, there needs to be a horn on phones. Literally. But, you know, are you listening? And sometimes you say, when you're talking to somebody with a smartphone and you know they're not listening, you even say, "Well, you're gone. I'll talk to you later." And they don't even respond. But God is not like that. He's always there. He cares for us. He has given you a special calling in your life. Well, I'm not called to be a pastor. A calling doesn't mean pastor. It doesn't mean label. It's a destiny. It's a call to your destiny. This is who I've designed you to be, and this is who you are going to be. But trust me, through the character building times, trust me through those times that are emotionally strong, that are literally mentally mystifying, that literally may bring pain into your life, please trust me during those times, because at the other side of this valley, there is a place of prosperity, a place of success, a place that I'm going to sit you down and you're going to have lunch in the midst of your enemy. I'm going to anoint you and your cup is going to overflow with oil. Hallelujah. It's so powerful to know that about our relationship with God. Let me close now with this. We should be willing to wait. That's a tough statement for me to say to everybody, to myself, anybody that will be listening on this today. We should be willing to wait. Yes, we're children before the Lord, but, you know, we all have raised children, or you have grandchildren, or you are around children. Have I covered everything? Okay. And so basically, times that children don't listen. They're not willing to wait. I mean, you're there at a traffic light or a crosswalk, and you got to hold the child back, and they're trying to run across the street, and you're saying, they got to be willing to wait because they don't understand what's coming either way. Well, sometimes God wants us in those places of life to be willing to wait because we don't understand what's crossing our path. He's keeping us safe. We need to be willing to wait for his promises, no matter what the time, no matter what the criticisms are, no matter what the mockeries may be, or the words of negative thoughts and speech. I often refer to Noah. Wow. Took a long time to build that ark. And people asked him, "What are you doing? There's no river around here. There's no pond around here. There's no lake around here. There's no sea around here. And you're building an ark." See, that's how our faith should be. Somebody may come up to you and say, "What are you doing?" Just look at him and say, "I'm building an ark." because God's going to rain blessings upon me, and he's going to pour out so much blessing on me that I'm going to float in my ark on those blessings. I'm not going to stop because you said, what am I doing? I'm telling you that God has promised me, and I'm building an ark to contain the fulfillment of that promise. We should live our lives with the theme that states this: whatever Jesus asks me to do, I'm going to do it. Mary said that in Cana, the wedding. She asked Jesus to do a miracle, his first miracle. And he didn't want to do it. But her faith looked at those people carrying the vessels. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. So sometimes you just got to have that kind of determination and faith. Whatever Jesus asks me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand strong in what he talked to me about, what he shared in my heart several years ago, what he said, and it seems so distant now, but I'm going to believe God, and I have not stopped building my ark, and he has spoken to me to do something on this path, and I'm going to do it. Would you pray with me this morning?